Let's go on over while they're receiving. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
How many mamas in the room? Wave at me. Praise the Lord. How many of you have 10 kids? How many of you have 9 kids? 8 kids. Rachel does. 7 kids. Vivi does. 6 kids. Oh, you have 7 kids? Okay, Barb. 6 kids? Anyone? 5 kids? 4? 4 kids, Miss Kathy, Jana. 3 kids? Lots of 3 kids. 2 kids? Lots of 2 kids. 1 kid? I have 1 kid and 1 grandkid. Praise the Lord. And all of your children. Praise God. Well, you'll be blessed. I hope you got your present. Danny took some good thought about getting that for you, and it should be a blessing. Did you get your Mother's Day? Okay. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And to all of you out there, happy Mother's Day. We are not going to preach about Mother's Day. We're going to preach about faith. All right, so Romans 4:1 this morning. I'm gonna read this in the New Living Translation, so that it's easy for you to get. Now we're talking about faith. You're gonna want to go listen to Wednesday night if you were not here, because that's gonna help you catch up to where we are tonight. The Bible says that the just lives by faith. 4 places: Old Testament, 3 New Testament. The just shall live by faith. You know, much of the Christian world doesn't even understand what faith is. They think that their faith is their denomination. Well, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Baptist, or what. That has nothing to do with the faith of the Bible. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so they don't have a clue, but we have a clue, and they're going to get a clue. And so, you know, a lot of people think that God makes all the decisions in the world and you just go with it, and it's kind of your fate. And a lot of people think that, you know, if someone gets sick, it's God teaching them a lesson, or they think that it's so-and-so's time to die. That's not written in the scripture. No. That's not written in the scripture. The truth is sometimes we lose at the game of life, and it's not God's fault. Amen. But when we learn to use our faith, we can change things. So when God created humanity, he did put certain things in us. He gave us dominion. Amen. And that means that we're in charge. That's what's missing from most of the teaching in the body of Christ. Now, more and more the Spirit-filled churches are understanding this. But he gave us dominion. And then he gave us the blessing. The blessing is the empowerment to prosper. It's not what you say over your meal. You pray over your food because you got to eat it. Right. And you want it to prosper in your body. Right. But the blessing is something that was bestowed on Adam. It was placed on him. God blessed them. He spoke it over them. And it's an anointing to prosper. Church, the blessing would have been the gospel had Adam not fallen. It would have been about us having dominion and working out the earth, blessing the earth, building wonderful things, and then moving on into the universe. Amen. Hope that's not too big for you, but it's the truth. Now, so he gave us the ability to hear. Now, we took time to go over that like 3 times this last month. Every person has the ability to hear God. Go back and listen to those if you were not here. So he told us also to live by faith. And so we have to develop that faith. So we're going to look at Romans 1. And I want to try to get you to not just look at it. The earth is flat. We're going to try to pull out of it these things so you can get more out of it today. Abraham was humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. Can I tell you that faith is humble?
Yes,
We prayed, and this happened. Yeah, we prayed, but God did it. God gets the glory. Amen. Now, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous because of his faith. So he's counted righteous because of his faith. He believed God. And just for those here of you here that need to know, or those of you listening online, righteousness is a gift to the believer. He has given a gift. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This means that, here's what righteousness means. Right standing. You, right now, every born again believer listening to me, you are in right standing with God right now. Well, you know, I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm off. Well, you're in right standing with God. Because it's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. And Jesus gave you right standing with God. You need to remember that as we go through this word today. So that when you have faith in what Jesus did, then you become righteous. Correct? So it said the good deeds did not make him righteous. Did you see that? Didn't make him righteous. Okay, verse 4. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven and whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9. Is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was it counted as righteous only after he was circumcised or before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Before. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith. We don't have time to teach on that, but that's a good lesson about what went on with circumcision. And that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of us all who have faith, but not have been circumcised. And that would be like the Gentiles. In those days, Gentiles weren't circumcised. It was a sign of covenant. And all the Jewish people, as you know, did that. So they are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. That's a pretty big statement right there, because the Jewish people actually come in because of their faith in God. Y'all see that? You see that? So we came in by faith. Actually, they come in by faith, according to the verse. Okay. Now, getting a promise won't come by trying to follow God's will with your life, with your flesh. Excuse me. You hear me? Did y'all hear me? Getting a promise to manifest is not going to come by you being good. Being good comes by your fellowship with God, and you take on his nature and you want to be good because you love him. You're not trying to get it to earn. Parents kind of messed us up about that. If you be good, we'll buy you an ice cream today. God didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. He said, I'm good, and I'm going to give you my promises, and you have to receive them. Amen. So when we give a gift, we don't expect someone to do something for us before we give it to them, do we? We don't expect that. We just give it to them.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't, I don't give Carter a present and then say, now son, if you will do this, Gran will give you this present. No, I'm just like, what do you want, kid? Mm-hmm. That's the way God is. You just have to receive. Amen. You have to receive. Praise the Lord. It comes by relationship with God that comes by faith. You get it by faith. Now, this shows once again the importance of living by faith. Go to verse 14 there. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. Did you get that? I'm going to read it to you again. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law also brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Amen. So the promise is received by faith. So you are living, you're living in the life of the Spirit by Christ Jesus and by faith, not by the law of sin and death. The law could tell you what was wrong with you, but it couldn't help you do anything about it. Right? The law never helped. Legalism never helped anyone. They couldn't help you straighten up. They just told you how bad you were. But grace will actually reveal to you where you need to change your life and then give you the power to do it. That's how grace works. Amen. And that's how faith works. So we are living as the righteousness of God by faith. So the promise is received by faith. This is verse 16. It is given as a free gift and we're all certain to receive it whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. So what they're saying is, you are going to, this is Paul actually wrote this. You're not going to receive because of fleshly works. You're going to receive if you believe God. You're like, well, we understand this, Pastor. Come on. I know you understand this already, but you need to hear it.
Yes.
You need to think about it. Because you're moving into new places and you're moving into where you're going to use your faith on new things. We need to move those chokeholds out.
Yes, right. Amen.
We need to move those out. You need to go to higher level, receiving more from God, receiving an anointing that when you lay hands on people, they will be healed.
Amen.
Receiving an anointing so that when you prosper, you'll have enough to give to every good work.
Yes.
Receiving these things, receiving right down to peace and joy. Amen. Shalom, shalom. Thank you, Jesus. The promise of salvation, of redemption, of righteousness is a free gift. Oh, you sure are taking a long time, Pastor. Yeah. Just make sure you'd be surprised how you can preach on something week after week after week after week after year after year after year, and someone will finally get it in about the third year. But I say not today. You're going to get this and move up in your faith. So it's a free gift, but here's the thing about this, church. You have to take it. You have to take the free gift. You have to take your right standing and you have to take whatever promise you're standing on. You have to receive it. And you can't just do it mentally.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's not your ground.
That's right.
Oh, that's so good.
This is not your ground.
Wow.
Your ground is your spirits, your heart. You can't just receive today what I'm saying mentally and get your faith to work. You have to drop it into your heart. I could see who just had a heart drop by who just responded to that. There's a, you can, if you look into the face of your sheep, you can tell a whole lot. And those that went, oh yes. That's when it drops into your heart. Amen. Faith is not in your mind. It's in your spirit. When you say amen to these things, it means the womb of your spirit's open. You're receiving things that you can conceive. Amen. Now, so we learned this Wednesday night how to take it. And I want to say this to you to make sure that everybody that's moving forward, moving these chokeholds out, that you get this principle that I'm about to tell you. This is how you take it. Okay? Y'all got that? Y'all got that? Y'all got that? I'm going to tell you right now how you take good or bad, the promise or the curse. I'm going to tell you right now how you can receive it, how you take it. It is found in Matthew 6:31. Go over there. Make yourself a note in your Bible. Put a star by it. Jesus is talking about seeking the kingdom of God, and he's talking about that flowers don't worry. Birds don't worry.
That is right.
Come on.
God knows what you need. Therefore, this is what he said there. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, people without God is what that means. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Okay, so you don't have to seek everything life requires or worry about it, let me say. You don't have to worry about it because you're God's kid.
Right.
How wonderful. I was raised in a household where the needs were met. I hope you were. But whether you were or not, God would meet your needs. Right? His household will meet your needs. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you have, knows all the things that you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's that righteousness word. And all these things shall be added to you. So seek the kingdom by faith. You're going to get what you need to get out of the unseen world by the force of faith. And the force of faith is like a magnet, and it'll draw in what you need in this physical realm. Faith is a force. It's a bridge. It connects you. You sow into the spirit world, you reap back into the natural world. Taking it slow here. Got it? Now, did you pick up what took the thoughts? What? Saying. Take no thought saying. Now, your little old brain, or your big brain, most of you have one. Just kidding, just kidding. Is the information revelation highway. The revelation has to come up through your spirit. But information comes from the world and the devil talking. So your unit here has to cast down what is not true. So if the devil says, we're not going to make it, my child's not going to make it, this is going to happen, that's ruined, I'm going to die, whatever it is that the devil is speaking to you in your own voice and making you think, you have to know it and take no thought. A thought dies unborn if you don't say it. So If the devil says, you're going to fail, you say, that's not my thought. I am healed. I am well.
Amen.
I am successful.
Yes.
I will do it.
Yes.
So if you want to receive from God, the way you take it is by opening your mouth with the right promise, the right thing. So you can talk all about the problem, all about the problem, all about the problem, and you're going to perpetuate the problem. I'm going to say something, and don't write me any ugly letters about it. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Well, you know, if you can just have one person where you can just vent. If you can just go ahead and dump your trash on just one person. So you can get it all out. Honey, just get it all out. You need to talk about it. You just need to get it all out. You know what you just did? You took it all in. Now, I know that people don't like that, and I know that's common counseling, but it's wrong. Because spirits are ready and listening to perpetuate the problem. They're all around you, and they're listening to perpetuate what you say, just like the angelic forces are ready to go to work for you. So whatever you say, yeah, but I feel this need. I got to get it up. Did you know if you'll start saying the positive thing about that?
Yes.
It's real easy to let people know what's going on. In the church, all you have to do is say, well, I'm overcoming. And people get the message. You don't have to tell them, don't they? When you say I'm overcoming, you know, okay, I'm going to pray for them. They're overcoming. See, they're saying they're overcoming, but they're confessing they're overcoming. Man, I just feel so bad. I feel like I'm just going to blah, 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 blah. Well, it's just going to get worse. Because you'll have help from the darkness.
Yeah.
So you got it?
Yes.
Saying is receiving. 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 Now the other ingredient is believing. You got saved, or what we call born again, by believing and saying. Romans 10:6 says, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart. See, this would be the works here. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. In other words, you don't have to try to force Jesus to get to Jesus, to get on the scene. He's in you. His word is in you. Or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth and in your heart. If you put something in your heart and speak it out your mouth, you are receiving. And it didn't take 14 times to get saved. When you said, I see it. I believe Jesus is Lord. Right, Hector? We know about you. Hector got saved. Hector went to the altar every few weeks for a while. He was trying to get saved. He didn't quite get it. But then finally he got it. And it's this. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. That's it. Well, can I tell you this? If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you are healed, you are healed.
Yes.
Now, do you notice I said if you believe in your heart? That's the issue. Because so many people are in mental ascent. Oh, I know that verse. Oh, I know that verse. Oh, I know that verse. And you haven't looked at it in your Bible in 20 years. And you think you know that you're having a relationship with that word. You are not. Praise the Lord. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Heart and mouth, believing and saying. Heart and mouth, believing and saying. This is how faith works. You got to put it in your heart and speak it out your mouth. That's a song we wrote a long time ago. Praise the Lord. It was fun. Believing in your heart is higher level than believing with your mind. You're not believing with your mind has to be renewed. Don't get me wrong. But you cannot depend on your intellect. In fact, I'm going to say something to you. Some people in this awakening need to repent about putting their education and their intellect before Jesus and their faith in Him. Because what they're doing is just doing it on their own. And you will be doing that. I see people just coming up and repenting all the time. Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. They'll say, I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be, cause they're just doing it. That's the difference in an awakening and just some little thing happening in the spirit. People start moving forward. It's a reformation happening. That's what'll change this nation. Amen. Now, so heart and mouth. So faith is not mental assent. Believing in your heart means you believe with your spirit. So you have to put something in there. Now here's the key. You're like, well, how do I believe in my spirit? I need to do this. How do I do it? You have to put something in there. You have to put something in there to get the believer to work. Just like you go get gas or diesel for your vehicle or charge it at the super thing, whatever you do these days. Vroom, vroom. You have to put something in there. Just like I heard you kick the final winning point. Now, I bet at some point you ate some food, didn't you? Because she had to have some fuel. You have to have fuel in the tank. Did you hear me? You have to have fuel in the tank. Veterans, I'm telling you, faith veterans, I'm telling you this all over again. That's right. You can't live off the memory of a baked potato.
That's right.
So here's what you put in there now. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word that will empower you to rise up and grab what you need. You can grab it when you had hope because you saw you could have it. And then you put enough word in there to where your faith rose up and you'll get it. Don't fall off here. I want you to stay with me. I want to show you a couple of things as we do this. The word is sown into the heart, then it grows, then faith rises, and it's like leaven. It'll start taking over. I'm healed. I'm healed. When you first started, if some of you are just now starting your quote, some of you may have been saved a long time, but you're just now starting your faith journey. Some of you just got saved. You're starting your faith journey. Some of you are veterans and don't bother to use your faith, so you need this all over again. Not trying to be mean. I'm just saying wherever you are, pick it up. For those of you that are using it, it's time to use it more. So we're hitting every category here. Now, here's the thing. When you get started on your faith journey, or you fell off for a while, you need to go back and do overtime. Or if you have a really hard attack, you have to go back and do overtime. That's why we go ahead and go to the convention every year so that we get immersed in the Word enough. I mean, we're all spitting bullets practically by Tuesday, aren't we? Because so much Word gets in us that we can believe. Now, some people may sit there till Thursday because there hadn't been anything in there. But it'll come. It will come. But you can't wait to convention. You will have to pick up your Bible and pick up your Creative Power by Charles Capps or whoever you have and start making your confessions. And when you begin to get that drilling on the inside of you, you're going to know you have what you've been believing for. And when you know you have it, it'll show up. But you're going to have to, you know, Brother Copeland would quit everything he was doing and just go lock himself up. And he said, I'm going to start with 3 days. And by the next morning, he already had the answer. But however long it takes, you get it in there. I remember there was this great preacher. I wish I could remember his last name. He's Larry somebody. He was from Rhema, and he was in Tulsa. And he had this wonderful healing teaching. I wish I could find it. Larry Hutton? Might have been him. But he had this teaching, and it took you a couple of days to listen to it. And by the time you got through with it, you were healed. He had this problem with his mother. His mother had cancer, and he took her to his meetings, and and she started sitting under that word. And a couple of days later, she came down there and said, "Larry, I'm healed." And he said, "How do you know you're healed?" "I know I'm healed." And she was healed of cancer. She knew it. So she didn't go back and think, "Did I get it? Was it there? Do I need to?" She knew. Were some of the symptoms still there? Yes. But they left. So, as you continue in your faith, and I've got witnesses in here, you can take a verse and get some spiritual nutrition in it when you've developed your faith, and it'll happen much quickly. Now, you're going to have faith on different levels on different things. It's the truth. Some things will be real easy for you, and other things you'll have to 949 times. You see what I'm saying? You get the picture? Well, I don't have time to do that. Well, do you have time to die?
No.
Do you have time to be broke? Do you have time to work like a dog all your life? Really, dogs don't work that hard. We need to change that. My dogs are like yawning. "We're going to go out and chase a squirrel, Mom." You know. Because if you work the work, Rachel was just saying this to me yesterday. She said, "Pastor John and I were talking. We were talking about, man, we just need to work the word. And we'll go to another level." And I said, "I'm doing the same thing, Rachel. That's what we're doing. Just, you know, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we working the word, or are we just working hard?" Cut out something and do that. Cut out something and do that. Do it in the morning. Do it at night. Do it whenever you do it, but do it. Now, here's what I want to show you. I'm going to say this to you. I was doing lawn work and everything, so I was sweating a lot, evidently not as much as I thought. And so Wednesday night, I drank a hydration drink, and I didn't quite read the whole label. And it had a lot of sodium in it. So, I mean, I preached hard. As if you remember Wednesday night, I was preaching hard. So when I got finished, I just sat down over here, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of tired." And Ronnie and I were talking outside, and all of a sudden I went, "Ooh." And she was like, "Pastor, are you okay?" She started praying for me, and Danny and Deb came and started praying, Jordan, whoever was there. And my blood pressure shot up big time. And Deb, laid hands on me, prayed for me, quoted a scripture, and it dialed all the way back down. Amen. And I've been okay ever since. I mean, I won't tell you how high it went, but it went right back down. Because my confession is that my blood pressure is 120 over 80. That's my confession, and I believe every word of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. All right. So now, if you can continue to grow in faith, you'll see that things will. Now, there's things that I need to work on personally that I may need to do the 949 or whatever. So that's a number I made up. Y'all don't go, Pastor said 949. No. Just do what you need to do. Praise the Lord. Hey, glory. But this is going to help you. In the next few weeks, I'm going to tell you some things that are going to give you a foundation to make all of this work easier. Mm-hmm. Talk about covenant. We can talk about how God revealed a certain name to Abraham, which helped him come to another level. You know what it is. We'll talk about that again. But one of the things you're going to find out is that you need to give the word final authority in your life.
Right.
You give the word final authority. In other words, if the word says it, that settles it. If the word says it, then it is. It's not something else. It's that. So that means you will have to study the word and find out what the word says about your situation. And if you're young at this and you have a hard time just with the Bible, you can get these little books that address everything, and then it'll tell you what the word says about it. Key Scriptures is one of the books. God's creative word. There's a bunch of books where it has the categories, and you can pray those things. Bible promises, stuff like that. You can take those things and you can build capacity. Church, I know this is not a basic, normal church. We are going to teach you something that is good for your life and helps you move ahead.
Yes.
Not going to give you 3 points and a poem and send you out of here after 20 minutes. You have got to live in this world, and you need this type of teaching.
Yes.
Having said that, we're almost done here. But what does the word say you are? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So then you're okay there. So you can approach the throne.
Okay.
So there's a good step. You're in covenant with God. That's what the word says. The Bible says that Jesus healed them all. Well, that's a good point. So that doesn't leave me out.
Amen. That's right.
Come on.
And don't get me started on Paul's thorn and Job's turkey. Yep. Y'all know, y'all need to read that and find out the truth about it.
Yep.
The devil messed with Job.
Yep.
Job let him in by fear.
That is right.
Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. It was a person yapping at his heels all the time. When he was blinded on the road to Damascus, he wasn't blinded like became a blind person. He hit a bright light. And he had to get over it a little bit, like people who hear loud explosions, they have to get over it. But he did. God brought it back to him. Amen. So, you know, he didn't have an eye disease after that.
Right.
It's not Bible. Okay. So, then you have to act on the word. You take the medicine. Remember Dodie Osteen? She had cancer. You remember that? They said, you're just going to have to go home and die. She went home and she began to take medicine several times a day. She would read get that book and do what she did.
Yeah.
And she read, she takes it to this day.
Yeah.
And cancer never came back.
Yeah.
But she did it every day because she knew she needed to stay in this world. And so she quoted those scriptures every day. She had faith in her heart. It was that simple. And she was healed. The word had final authority. Not our jobs. Not your relatives. Not conspiracy theory. Not the government. Thank God. The word has final authority. Not the circumstances. Not the situation. And not what they say you have. There's a name above every name. There's a name above diabetes.
Yes.
There is. There's a name above blindness. There's a name above arthritis. There's a name above all those things. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, let's finish up here. Go back to Romans 4. It says, as it is written, verse 17, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. So it looked hopeless, but he still had hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So God told him what he could have. He said, you're going to be the father of many. I know I'm jumping ahead here, but I think I just will. He's going to be the father. Let me just read it. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, or let's say this, right standing. Because he believed. Jesus told the disciples and us to have the faith of God. Now, God told Abraham that he was going to have descendants like the sand and the stars. Did he?
Yep.
Everybody's read it. And so he had pictures. Star pictures, sands pictures, hope. Hope is like a picture. He had the pictures. But then, I'm going to ruin next week's sermon probably on this one. But then he told him, I'm Almighty God. Almighty God means El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the one, see, Elohim's the creator. El Shaddai is the one who can change the very nature if his children need him to.
Amen.
And Abraham's body needed to be changed.
Yes.
Okay. And so once he had already tried some stuff and sat in 13 years of silence after that. We've all had an Ishmael or two, I'm sure. But here's the thing. As soon as he got lodged into covenant to El Shaddai and got those pictures, his faith got strong. How did you build onto your house? You made a blueprint. And then it could happen. And you had to think about what you wanted to put on that blueprint. So God showed him and he did it. Now, he named him, his name's Abram. But he renames him and puts Ha in there, which is part of God's name. And he's now father of a multitude with no children, but taking that thought and confessing his name. Hello, I'm father of a multitude. Who you are you? Well, this guy's a dummy, isn't he? He's just lying to everybody. He doesn't even have any kids. But he understood a principle. He understood that you have to get out of time to bring things into time. And when you call things that are not as they were, you're pulling. See, God is out of time. Y'all get that? He made time for us, but he lives out of time. The people in heaven aren't getting older. I was figuring up, I said, okay, when I'm 70, Toby will be 51. When I'm 81, Toby will be, and I figured it out. And then I said, when I'm 101, Toby will be 33, and so will I. Right? Praise the Lord. We're going to go back that way. So, but God's out of time. So here's what I'm telling you. He's already been to your future. He's already seen the lineup. It's in your book. If you just don't follow it, it'll just get erased. But it's in your book what you're going to do. And he's seen your future. You know what I'm going to say right now? You're somewhere in the future and you look much better than you look right now. But God sees your future. He saw Abraham's future. And when Abraham agreed with that future, they had Isaac. Laughter. His name means laughter. Okay? So we have him. If he says you're healed, do you agree? And you can confess it until you believe it in your heart, and then you'll confess it, and it'll be so. And you'll see it happen in your body. I just took what Deb said and watched that dial turn all the way back down. Thank you, Jesus. And it said, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Evidently, his faith was not weak. Evidently, you could have weak faith, but Abraham's wasn't. His was strong. He did not consider. Say consider.
Consider.
Say it again.
Consider.
What was going on in the natural. He would not consider it. You remember the woman who was promised the son, the prophet, that she got a son and then he died? She would not consider. She would not consider. She said, it's well. Where's the prophet? No, I'm not talking to you. It's well. Now, where's the prophet? No. It's well. Come to my house now. It's well. See, that's the attitude you have to get. And every time the devil says, oh, you're going to be too sick to do what you... No, it is well. All is well. All is well. Well, what if I'm out on the street? No, all is well. I've said this hundreds of times to this church. If everybody left and everybody quit, I would still have my Bible. That's all you need. Your Bible and the Holy Ghost. That's all you need. Don't have to depend on people. Don't have to depend on the government. I'm not a victim. I don't have to depend on the government. I can live under this constitution that we have that says I have rights. And if we'll start confessing those rights, they're going to come back. He did not stagger. He was not moved by circumstances. He steadily and firmly believed the promise, was strong in faith. So evidently you can have strong faith, and his faith had endurance. That's what the Greek said. He had endurance, being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able. Was able to perform. Let me ask you a question. Are you persuaded that God can do it? Are you persuaded that God can do it? Because if you're really persuaded that God can do it, you're going to talk the right thing. And it doesn't mean that you won't get some instructions. Well, I'm not going to do anything because God's going to do it. No. Walk it out by faith. Walk it by faith. The house didn't just appear. You had to hire the builder. You had to pour the slab. You had to be there and tell them what you wanted. But they did it by faith. You do it by faith. And if you are going to go to the doctor by faith. If you have to have a procedure, do it by faith.
Right. Amen.
Sow your seed by faith. Now, I'm going to give you the kicker now and we'll close. He was fully persuaded, so confident that he could trust God at his word as like a best friend, that God was bound to it. God, who was already ready to make it happen, saw this unwavering confidence and knew that Abraham was really his friend. He said, "This guy trusts me." Boom! This guy trusts me. And therefore it was imputed. Now listen to this. This is the clincher. It was imputed to him for righteousness or right standing. This was reckoned as full proof of friendship and was recognized and treated as righteous. That is, as a friend of God, he was recognized righteous. I'm not misquoting. I mean that. He was recognized as righteous. Okay. You're like, "Well, you sure are harping on that." Walk out here with me just a minute. Right? He was recognized as right standing. He was recognized as right standing. Right standing. Who are you? The righteousness of God, right? He's treated as righteous. He's in right standing. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. When you're in faith, you are standing right. You get it? You're standing right in the path of the manifestation. Right? I'm right standing in it. That's bad English. If we were flipping it around to Spanish, that might work. Right? Standing right in the path. Standing right in the path. When it's imputed to you, if you believe and you receive, you're standing right in the path to get what you need. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. You receive this today? Thank you, Jesus. The enemy comes in and says you're not going to make it. You are unwavering. You don't change. You don't try to fix it yourself. You do what he says to do. Buy that property. Go here. Pray this. Do this. Command this. That's your part. Your property is not, "Are you the one that's going to help me? Are you the one that's going to help me? Are you the one that's going to help me?" You are going to fail if you do that. But if you will say, "God, you will see me through." He'll do it. He will do it. He will do it. And the chances are, if you'll have faith like that, you don't have to go up to anybody. They'll come up to you.
Amen.
They'll come up to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for it. You're standing right in the manifestation. Have a cookie. Y'all know that? That's the six eyes of faith. Take your Bible and just write it in here. I have it in mind somewhere right here. Yeah. The six eyes of faith. You just write it in the front. So you will always know that's what happened in Mark 11:23. I believe I will. You say, if someone offers you, "Well, I believe I will. I believe I will." Isn't that what you say? "Well, I just believe I will." And then what do? I take it. Well, you shouldn't be taking things from God. Excuse me, that's what receive means. Go study it out. That's what it means. I take it. I have it. I thank you for it. And I always forgive. And then you're standing right. You took it in the spirit. It'll manifest in the flesh. Your heart will start beating right. Your blood will clear out. Your finances will come in. Your product will be sold. Your debt will be canceled. Your favor will be strong. Ideas will come to you. Nothing can stop you.
That's right.
And that's how we're going to have all I see is victory.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all receive this today?
Amen.